little bit, and we're going to continue with Hashem with the next chelik, the next section of this Maimer and Chinuch. For those who haven't been here before, I'm just going to repeat that which I've been saying all along, that the point here, this is not a hashkafish here, this is not any methodology in Chinuch. It's for the simple purpose of his chazkos, chizik for parents, for teachers, for grandparents, in this Melechus Hashem and Melechus HaKodesh. That's the entire purpose of this discussion. So what we were talking about last week at the end was the danger of viewing chinuch as parenting and teaching as something which is a bedeved. Something which is a bedeved, meaning, well, in the example of a teacher, well, I really don't plan on staying in chinuch much longer. This student really didn't belong in this class. He had all types of pretexts to get here. I'm hoping to give a higher share. Therefore, it's merely a coincidence or a b'deavid that this child happened to end up here. And as a result of that, the mechanech, the teacher, and we spoke about examples of how it could even be with a parent, the attitude of the parent or the mechanech could very easily be that this is all a b'deavid. This is something that is not really an ideal situation. This is not really what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants of me. And that would affect the person's, the mechanech, or the parent's entire attitude towards the child during that time. So let's just look at the end on page Yud. The last two little paragraphs on page Yud, those that don't have, if you could share. And let's try to move quickly. I mean, you didn't realize the summer's... I don't want to remind anybody, but it looks like it's ending. Yeah. Not yet. Okay. V'chein, the last two paragraphs on page Yud. V'chein v'protus kasher hayetza machnis machshavus she'ilu haya liyelet ze matzav acher haya yoseh tov. Very often a parent thinks, or a teacher, that if this child would have had a better mazel, a lot of parents have told me, I feel so bad for my child. And I said, why? Because I'm his parent. I feel so bad because if he would have a different parent, it would be much better for him. Or I feel so bad because if this child would have had the hashgacha to be in this town, in this yeshiva, in this school, the child would have had a much better opportunity to grow. All of that creates a mindset that my child is in a situation of a bedavid. That it's not a lechemchila, this is not really the best, this is not the best situation. What can you do? I have no choice. Right? Sometimes you wanted the child to be in a certain school. I don't know if I'm going to bring up the subject of this whole scandalous business of how things work with seminars. You all are familiar with this. So sometimes you have a tzibrochen that your daughter was planning on being in a certain seminary. Your daughter is planning on being in a certain seminary, and you were and you're wondering, you know, this is going to be a problem. You began to feel some pain knowing that there are around 5,000 applicants and there were like 60 spots, and your daughter, all the years you were very proud of her. She was a 90 student, and she was a good girl, and she's a tzniyazdik, fine Jewish girl, but still you realize that this is, the competition is fierce, especially if you're up against people that have protected you, you're in big trouble. So then your child ends up someplace else. Let's say it didn't work out. You make ishtadlis, you do what you can, you make proper phone calls, you do what you can. But lemaisa, your daughter ends up in a certain seminary, or she ends up staying in home. She ends up staying in New York, chas v'sholem, right? So that could create this feeling, oy vey, and it will be, certainly it'll be transmitted to the child. That's for sure. That this is a terrible b'deavet, this is a terrible tragedy. And it affects the entire attitude about where that child is going to be the following year. What he's saying is that if you made your ishtadlus and it turns out that your child ended up in this seminary or in this place, that means that's what the Baruch Hu wants the child to be. And for whatever reason, the best that could be for that child is going to be in that place, as odd as it might seem to you, because you're thinking, no, my child really would have blossomed in that other seminary and not where she is. But he's saying that will affect the person to feel that this entire matter is only b'deved, I don't really want it. Could you understand the different attitude that a child is going to have when she's in a class sitting in a place where she would rather not be, knowing that her parents are upset, and Therefore, we have to make a hishtadlus, but at the same time, to inculcate this emunah into our children, that we say, sweetheart, we did what we could, we made the hishtadlus, you're a terrific girl, and obviously the Baruch Shalom wants you to be in this place for this time. Not just it's rachmanis, and they don't know what they're missing, and so on. So, aval avadoseinu, the end of page Yud, aval avadoseinu, he told me lachzer, supposed to be lushanein velachkeik b'libeinu. We should continuously review this within our hearts. She'ein b'deavid. There is no such thing as a b'deavid. By the way, that's not only when it comes to our children, it's with us as well. You make your ishtadlus, you did what you could, and then you are someplace, you're in a certain situation, don't look at that as being a b'deavid, that this is not where I'm supposed to be. Once you make your ishtadlus, that means that this is where you're supposed to be. And therefore he explains, Rakakol lechatchila sheba lechatchila. This is the lechatchila of what the Baruch, it might be by you, Bibi David, but it's the Baruch Shalom's lechatchila. And he wins. So it's his lechatchila. And therefore, if it's a lechatchila sheba lechatchila, you go into that situation with a positive attitude. And you do what you can do. Kol chashka shirayim etz a yelet. If you see a child that there's a certain difficulty, there's a certain darkness by a child, a chashkas, a darkness, so then you have to know that he hachon le'or otzim v'nifla, that it doesn't mean that the child is lost in this darkness and stuck and there's nothing you can do. It means that the Rebbeinu Shlom is preparing the child for something else, for something great. K'may shekol achad mi'itanu kol inyan shel nisayin shel nozeichim lavor. He uses an interesting lashon, zeichim lavor. Any nisayin, any test that you and I are zeichet to go through. We don't usually think of that as a schus. Why? We don't think of a nisayon as a schus. And we dive in every morning, v'altiv yenu lo l'day nisayon. We don't want nisayon because we're afraid. We don't want nisayon because we're afraid we'll fail, God forbid. But what he's saying is that truthfully, if you are in that nisayon, you dive in whatever it is that the Rebbeinu Shlom is putting you through a certain time, and you go through a certain nisayon, whether it's with a child, whether it's with parnasa, whatever that nisayon is, he says, self kol self, it's a schus to go through that nisayon. We don't feel that, but it's a schus because it only means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a way that is impossible to understand. I spoke about this a lot the last two Shabbos, especially last Shabbos, in a way that we can't understand. The Rebbeinu Shlom is preparing me for something greater. And if that's the case, instead of going into the situation, being in the situation, feeling that I'm losing and that I'm a lost, this is a lost cause, where the person gives up hope, instead he should look at it as an opportunity to grow. Any child that goes through some difficulty, whatever type of difficulty that child has to go through, this is somehow, in some way, you might not see it for 30 years. You might not ever see it. You might already be 120. You might be in the world of truth already. But somehow, the difficulties that that child is going through, you work with the child, you do whatever you can. But those difficulties are somehow preparing him or her for taivas atzumos, for wondrous taivas, avuro, for the child, the avuri. When a child is going through a difficulty, it's also to make the parent. It's also a nisayon for the parent. Sometimes it's a much greater nisayon for the parent, because the parent feels more of the pain than the child. But that's also somehow avuri. In other words, when somebody that you love is going through a difficulty, so that's also your nisayon. And that somehow all those who are affected by that nisayon are also part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's amazing cheshbon to bring this entire group, whether it's a family, a chevra, to bring them somehow to something greater, which you might not see for many years. Whoever has a shaychus to that child, be it a parent, be it a teacher, whoever has a shaychus, the sisters or the brothers. And I've seen, we should never know from any difficulties at Tzaras, but I've seen families where there are difficulties with a child, and the children, the brothers or the sisters of that child, grow up in a way where there's a certain sensitivity and a certain understanding that you would not see in a different family. That doesn't mean that one has to suffer for the sake of the others, God forbid. But it's all part of the Rebbeinu Shlom's bringing something out of these people who are connected to that child, to that family, that otherwise would not happen. Therefore, you make your ishtadlus, but don't say, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible, there's nothing I can do about it, this is all a b'deavid. No, it's a l'chadchila shul b'l'chadchila. And you have to look at it in that way. Let's continue on Yud Aleph. Yadur me'at tzanzirav, from the Devar Chaim. Me'at chofetz chaim, and me'har be'at tzadikim schusim again. She'kol ma'asho anuroyim ba'olam hazeh, that everything that you and I see in this world, ha'kol rak moshul avureinu l'islamid mizeh, la'asiyas ritzayin Hashem izbarach. This is a fundamental principle of the teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh and his students, that every single thing that I see in this world, if there's a reason why I was in this place at that time. Because everything in the world, everything in existence is a marshal. Now we have a Sefer Mishlei, or this morning some of you might have been, we were talking about Shir HaShirim, where everything in the book Shir HaShirim is a marshal. It's telling you something else. It has a nimshal. It's teaching you something. All of life is a marshal. And everything, therefore, that you and I, everything that we experience in life, whoever we meet, there's a nimshal in that experience, there's a lesson, there's something there that we have to understand, that we have to try to learn from that experience, from that person, and so on. That's why we say in the davening, Mola ha'aretz kinyanecha. Reb Tzadik explained that the meaning of Mol Haaretz Kinyanecha is that the world is filled with means of my acquiring you, Hashem. Kinyanecha, the world is filled not with Hashem's things, that's the simple pshat, but Mol Haaretz Kinyanecha means that every opportunity in life, everything in life, everywhere I go, everything I see, is somehow a means of being koineh, of acquiring Hashem Yisbarach, of getting closer to Hashem, of becoming more the person that I need to become. The nam shilu in yaneinu. Therefore, he says, let's learn a mashal. Kasha yeshno yela chakosha legadol aisa bebeiso haproti ben mishpachto. If there's a child where the family can no longer take care of that child, they simply cannot deal with that child. And he puts in parentheses here, it's just very sweet. Hashem yisbarach yishmer v'yatzel is kol beis yisrael mimatzok is a v'har b'yish levakish m'Hashem yisbarach kol echad v'ach v'echad b'proti is sheyizkehu v'kol yisrael legadol is kol yilod v'beiso karoi. That Hashem should help us, that we should be able to bring up our children around our homes in the right way. But let's say God forbid, there's a family that, for whatever reason, there's a certain stress, there's a difficulty, and they cannot bring up this child. And therefore a family must be found to adopt the child, to take care of the child. As I say the hadvar, the procedure is shekasha yesh mishpacha sheroitzim la'amitz etzlam beveisam yelad mi mishpacha acharis, that when one family is going to adopt either permanently or as a foster child is going to take a child into the home, as I am skukim la'avur seder sholem shel bechinos mitzadim emshola, you have to pass in Eretz Yisrael, and here too there is a different procedure, but you must pass an entire test. You have to have long talks with social workers. It doesn't mean a written test, but you have to be very carefully examined by professionals to determine whether or not the environment of your home and your capabilities as a parent are sufficient to take that child in. Can they take a child into the house? We have now in the shul a family that just took this past week two little children into the home, foster children, two children, and we discussed at length the very rigorous examinations and discussions that were taking place with Ohel regarding their qualifications as parents to take in these little children. And not only that, after the children have been taken, have been adopted, there should be very careful follow-up to see to it that things are going well. And the social worker will come and visit, and so on a regular basis. They're very careful to investigate what type of a home, what's going on in this house. They want to know about their past. Anything that in any way, directly or indirectly, could affect the life of this foster child or this adopted child. And they're worried about any possible any possible problem in that home that could disrupt the upbringing of this child who needs a lot of attention. Ben im huraya ba'avar, whether it was a matter that was in the past, ben ba'asid, or something that they might be concerned with in the future. Ben mitzad ha'kaychus shelahem, the kaychus of the parents, the adopting parents, ben mitzad ha'kishreinu shelahem, ad sheyeh borer shehanoshim ha'elu mukhsharim lahavi yelad beisam, until it's clear to the social workers that a child can be brought into this house. And that's a very difficult test to pass. So what's the mashal? What's the mashal? So listen carefully. The kasha is zayichim be'ezra Hashem is be'orach lich yoyse ma'ar gosha kedoysha ha'nifla azu. The tzaddik says that we should take into our hearts this wonderful, powerful hargosha, this holy feeling. What? As I call ha'shayichasim and ha'shom is a kedoysha sa'elu. He's saying the marshal is that if you adopt somebody, that until they agree to give you that child, you have to go through 1,000 tests, and every single detail of your past, of your present, and even speculation regarding your future is checked 1,000 times, and the files and files and tests and studies are made, and then finally you could pass the test, and you're amazed, and they'll say, okay, we entrust you with this neshama. No, you understand already. What's the nimshal? So what do you think the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't have files? You think the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't look into each and every one of us? Elif, alfei, alafim, how many, a billion times more? No social worker could ever investigate any human being like the master of the universe. Right? So that means that the Rebbeinu Shlom, he says, Nasis ba'ifa na'alim eroimim v'choshem ad ein shiyash, ar yashem izbarach v'chfoidu v'atzma, nosli haskoma, m'fereshes. You could actually, when you have a baby, when you give birth to that baby, you can come home and you can get a certificate. Not a birth certificate, that they give you. A certificate from the Rebbeinu Shlom that he's masking that you should have that child. And you can have all these chesbonos, I don't know it, I didn't expect a child, I don't know how it happened, such a thing, I wasn't ready for this, I don't have the koiches, I'm too old, I it didn't work out with my other two children, I didn't bring them up in a good way, chalila. When you have a child, it's not a b'de'evit. It has nothing to do with anything but the Ratzon Hashem is Baruch, that neshama was waiting for a long time, and when that neshama comes into your life, it comes with a certificate, with instructions, with everything, that the Baruch Shalom ran you through a very complicated series of examinations. Mostly haskama. And you have a haskama from the Baruch Shalom. Shani Roish Yeli Shaykhis and Neshomas Kedoshis Eilu Meshach Tkufazu. That during the course of my life, or if it's a teacher, if it's a rabbi or a teacher, that for the duration of this class, for this period of time, this year, that if the Rebbeinu Shlom sent me this student, it's not because he couldn't get into the other yeshiva, or because there are too many kids in the Aleph class, so they put him into the base class. But those are all chitzenistic things. To believe in those, to believe in all of those externalities is kfira, is heresy. You have to know that if that child is here, that means that the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted him here with you, and that's a lechatchila, sheber lechatchila. And it comes with the Rebbeinu Shlom's haskama, that only you, have the ability, after the Rebbeinu Shlom has gone through all of his files, every other human being in the world, but it's not just every other human being in this generation, you understand? Let's try to think of this in a deeper way. Until that neshama came to you, that neshama could have come 1,000 years ago. That neshama could have come 2,000 years ago. That neshama could come in 1,000 years. So it's not just you're thinking, well, maybe the Rebbeinu Shlom thought that I was okay compared to the ladies on my block. No, that's not it. That's not even compared to the ladies in my lifetime. To all of the mothers through all of history, who any Jewish mother that was, is, or will be, the Rebbeinu Shlom went through all of the files and said, you are the one. You're chosen. That's a b'de'evit. If you think of that, he says that that can create within you a hargosha kedosha v'niflah, a holy and spectacular feeling of attachment to your child, and a sense of achrayus. Not only that, empowerment that you could do it, because the Rebbeinu Shlom chose you. It wasn't a b'de'evit. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, "All right, better have a kid." Chas v'chalila. The next column. And not only has the Baruch Hu given me this haskama, this approbation, this consent form that he signed, that this, that I'm the parent, I'm the teacher for this kid. As we learned a few weeks ago, that the Baruch Shalom has appointed me as his shliach, and we learned that according to halacha, the principle in halacha is shluchai shaladim kemaisai, that when you are appointed as a shliach, it means that you have halachically the power of the one who is sending you. You have the koyach of the mishalayach. That means that a parent has, on some level, infinite koyaches, to deal with a child, to deal with children. that I should be busy to take care of these nishamas. Not only has Hashem consented that I be the shliach, that I be the messenger to take care of the child, that the Baruch Hashem has chosen me to call Klal Yisrael, that I was chosen from amongst all of Klal Yisrael. And there was a special bechir that was made, a choice. Sharak ani yacholios roila tafkid, that only I am fitting for this job. I'm qualified. Now you think of yourself as being the most unqualified parent in the world. We all think that on a difficult day, we think that we're the most unqualified people in the world. Unqualified is not true. We have the qualifications. We just don't believe in them, and we look at our situation as being a terrible b'deva. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And you lose your cheshek, and you lose your simcha, and you lose your belief in the Baruch Shalom's belief in you and trust in you that you could fulfill this job. Umikol kla yisrael rak ani nivcharti liyeshli shaychus in neshama zu davke. That means, and here I just want to take 5 minutes to make an extension of this point that the tzaddik is making. I mean, this means that everybody else failed that test. If you like to think of it in that way, that everybody else has failed. That the Baruch Hu went through every Jew that has ever lived and will live and is right now, and that neshama. And the Baruch Shalom looked to make a shidduch and said no. Went to the next one, no. Went to the next one, no. And all the different tests. Hashem Yisbach knows everything about your past, your present, and your future. Everything. And the Baruch Shalom comes to you, and the Baruch Shalom goes through everything and says, it's your lucky day. Right? You're the one. You've been chosen. Now, you have to know this. You have to feel this. But it's not enough that you realize this. But your kids also have to feel this. That you feel this way about them. That you feel this way. I'm not talking about in the secular world, where I've had people who, by the truth, have told me before that they remember their parents telling them over and over and over, you should know you were just a mistake. Can you imagine living through life that way? You were not at all a lechatchila. You were a big b'deavid. It was a mistake. You were a mistake, and therefore, everything about you is aggravating, it is annoying, because this wasn't supposed to be. Instead, I was supposed to be a club med. And I'm here with you doing your homework. This is all a big mistake, right? Sometimes even Jewish children in religious homes get the feeling like that. It would never be said by a religious person, God forbid, in an overt way, I've never heard of such a thing, that a Jewish person should say, should talk that way. But in a very subtle way, a child can feel that parents say, use terms of yeyush, of despair, and speak in such a way, over the years the children get the message that they're not a lechatchila, that they're a big b'deved, and they're cutting into their parents' lives, they're cutting away their parents' lives, and the children feel that they feel not that they're a mistake, since they're ma'minim, but they feel that their parents don't see their lives as being a lechatchila part of who they are. And that's a very dangerous thing, and it has that attitude can have a horrible impact upon a child's emunah as well. Because a child begins to feel that the Baruch Shalom is not part of this entire formula. Let me explain what I mean. I spoke a little bit about, this morning I spoke about Arichas, but The Gemara in Brachas says that when a child begins to speak, the first words that a child is able to say are Abba and Ima, or whatever variation of that, Mommy, Daddy, you know, Tati, whatever it is. But the first thing that a child is able to say is father and mother, Abba and Ima. That's the beginning of the Tfisa, which I spoke about this morning. That's the beginning of the Tfisa of a child, of his awareness that I am in this world because of Abba and Ima. I exist because of Mommy and Daddy. That's the beginning of the Tfisa. And that's why I spoke about this morning, that they understand they have a shaykhis to Mommy and Daddy, and that translates itself into a love, into a connection. Because their first tfisa, the first thing they say is Abba and Ima, because they understand that they're alive only because of these people somehow. That's what they understand. They don't understand anything in biology, but they know that this is why they're in the world, is because of Mommy and Daddy. And from that moment that the child has that tfisa, that awareness, which is very early in life, the parents must bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into that family circle. From the very beginning. Even though this morning I spoke about it as being at the top of the ladder. But what I'm explaining now, you'll understand on the most basic level, is that if a child understands that the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted my parents to have me, The Rebbeinu Shlom is the mashpia. In other words, they see their parents as being mashpia. And the children understand, Mommy feeds me, Daddy goes to work. we have this world where my parents are giving to me and are taking care of me. And that's called a fatherly and a motherly instinct that is developed, and a feeling that the child has. That I have my father, I have my mother. It's very important that parents from the earliest time, but it's never too late, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into that. And what I mean by that is that the parents are constantly repeating this, that you should know that the Rabbanu Shlalom is, the, as the Gemara says, is the shutuf, is a partner in all of this, and therefore the Rebbeinu Shlom is the one who's mashpia. It's only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Daddy can make a panasa, and that Mommy is able to take care of you, that the Rebbeinu Shlom, this feeling that the Rebbeinu Shlom is also a father, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is also a mother, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is masked into this whole project, he's part of this project, he's involved in this project, and therefore, Kindlech, we're only able to do things for you only if it's according to what the Rebbeinu Shlom says is okay, what we're supposed to do for you. Therefore, you could say, sweetheart, you would like to go to this place, you would like maybe to read a certain type of a book, but the Rebbeinu Shlom told us in Shulchan Aruch, he told us through the Tzaddikim, he told us through his Nevi'im, that as your father and as our father, he's not masking to that way. He doesn't give his shtempel, he doesn't give his approval, he doesn't give his haskama to that. And when this is reviewed over and over and over again, a child begins to develop an emunah, not only in his parents as those who are shlichim, but he begins to feel a connection to the one who sent them, to the mishalech, because the parents are constantly reminding him that kindlech, are reminding the children, kindlech, we're shluchim. The Baruch Shalom is mashpiat, the Baruch Shalom is in charge, the Baruch Shalom is directing our lives. And the child sees that Daddy loves me. And if the one who sent Daddy, then the one who sent Daddy, he's good too. Mommy loves me. Mommy takes care of me. And Mommy tells me all the time that it's only the Baruch Shalom that helps me take care of you, sweetheart. It's the Baruch Shalom who sent me to take care of you. Then the child's emunah is strengthened. Let me show this to you from a famous teaching of Chazal. The Medrash says, regarding the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem, by the snap, by the bush that was on fire. So the Medrash says, Nigla Elov Bekola Shel Aviv, that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu the first time, when he said Moshe, the first time, it sounded like his father. That was, Hashem was impersonating Amram. Hashem could do that, you know. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, And he spoke to him in his father, in Amram's voice, in his father's voice. And the Medrash says, Amram Moshe, bo avi mi Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was so excited. He said, my father came from Mitzrayim. My father's here. Amalai, so Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Eini avicha, I'm not your father, Ela Elokei avicha, I'm the God of your father. So it says in Medrash, Eini avicha, Ela Elokei avicha, I'm the God of your father. Same thing when it came to Shmuel Hanavi. This is for teachers. With Shmuel Hanavi, Chazal tell us that when Hashem first spoke to Shmuel that mysterious night, right, when he kept on hearing the voice, was getting out of bed, when Hashem spoke to Shmuel, you know who did Shmuel hear? Whose voice was it? It was Eli HaKohen. He heard Eli's voice. It's the same concept, because that's with the Rebbe. That's with the teacher. Because everything we're saying about parents is the same with the Rebbe, with the Mohr, with the teacher. So here we have an example that when the Rebbe Shlom, when Moshe, when he hears the Rebbe Shlom, it's his father's voice. When Shmuel hears Hashem, it's his Rebbe's voice. And what are Chazal telling us? Aside from the fact that I believe in that a million percent that that's what happened. So what's Hashem teaching us? Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem first address Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of Amram and Shmuel Hanavi in the voice of his Rebbe, in the voice of Eli HaKohen? To teach us the only way that a child's emunah can thrive, and understand this well because we're living in difficult times, the only way that a child's emunah can be healthy and strong is if he sees Hashem as a father. If he hears Hashem's voice in his mother's voice. If in his eyes, in his mind, in his little heart, those three are equated, father, mother, and the Rebbe Shlom, or the Rebbe. Same idea. Also, connected with the Rebbe. If he hears a softness in his mother's voice and knows that that softness is coming from the one who sent her, the one who was masking, the one who made this whole arrangement, and therefore he feels a softness in Hashem as well, he's disciplined also. A child has to be disciplined. But the same way, you know, there are many, many people who are somehow able to believe that even though my parents love me, but the Baruch Shalom hates me, something is wrong. There's something wrong. That the Baruch Shalom was not brought into that circle of warmth and affection is a pgam, is a blemish that will affect ultimately the emunah of that child later on in life. As the Baruch Shalom has to, this haskam of Hashem that we're learning about tonight, the one who's the Meshalech, who sent the parents, it's not just that he sent them and then says, go ahead, take care of your kids. The Meshalech has to be there in your house with you all the time. And the children have to feel that. That's something that the older generations, they were much better than us with that. There's somebody in my shul who I really love very much, this man. He's like Yosef David. Maybe he'll hear this tape and he'll be embarrassed. But he's such a tzaddik, this Yid. So Yosef David always tells me, this Jew is a very special Jew. And really special. And from the time that we first met him, he always talks about his parents, who are no longer in this world, but he always talks about his parents. And what he loves to tell me about his father and his mother is the relationship that they had with Hashem. And how every single word that the parents said, they would say, oh, the Heilige Beshefa. The Heilige Beshefa, it loves you so much. And the Heilige Beshefa is helping me to get you dressed this morning, sweetheart. No. It's a certain lashon. Right? That Mama lashon. Mama meaning Melech Malcha Hemlachim, right? That's what stands for Mama. Melech Malcha Hemlachim. Is that lashon, with that sweetness. I've seen the Rebbe Shlom as a mother, as a father. But for the rest of their lives, these Jews are able to hear the Rebbe Shlom talk in that way. Instead of hearing the Rebbe Shlom as someone that's yelling about you that you didn't finish your homework, right? Yelling at you, you didn't finish your homework. Or you're going to fail the Tanakh test if you don't do this, if you don't chazer it 10,000 times. Which is some of, is that your elbow, Sarah, that's showing? You know, and to always hear Hashem, because they've always heard, if you always hear your teacher, all the teacher ever says is your elbow is showing, then they hear the Rebbe Shlom saying, your elbow is showing. And that's all Ebi Rasham saying. That's your elbow is showing. That's not a proper. Your hairdo is off. Your headband is goyish, right? Whatever it is, I'm not even the oven. So a person that's trained to hear that shouldn't grow up hearing that from teachers, from rebellion. Shouldn't grow up hearing that from teachers. They associate with that the one who sent the teacher. He also looks at me as some horribly immodest. Temptress, like these little girls, you know, that I'm going out into the world to mislead all the men and to defile all men by the way that I look. And a lot of times, you know, and I had a hard time this because of the way that we grew up in yeshivas. So I had this hashkafa, you know, and my wife used to talk to me about that. So we had this argument. I remember years ago we had this discussion. It wasn't an argument; it was a discussion. We had this discussion where I felt. When I would see a firm woman that would go out and properly dressed, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. A person went to yeshiva, a person like this, and how could it be? And my wife was always telling me, and years ago we discussed this, that she's not thinking of being rebellious. She's not trying to defy God. She's probably comfortable that way. Or she wants to be stylish. And maybe she has a little bit something with self-esteem and she wants to look a certain way. You know, I saw this as like some horrible rebellion. Because really, this is the way that we were brought up thinking. That the women that do that are the embodiment of the snake from Gan Eden. Those horrible women, right? So and what happens to the women who grow up thinking that they're like that? No, so if especially the ones who think the whole reason I'm covering the head is a very big parasha. It's a terrible nisayin, especially for women who didn't grow up in a home where the mother was covering the hair, or they didn't grow up with friends like that. And I've seen this, the nisayinus, we have a lot of the women that they're trying to work in that way, in that direction, and they believe in halacha, but they have a hard time. And one of the things that they grow up thinking very often is, the only reason that I have to cover my hair is because I have to worry about it, that there's some chamyanka, some jerk on the street, that my hair is going to get him interested. My hair, with all of its split ends and oil problems, is going to cause this. What's it my business? I have to worry about this guy. Let him go with me, just a charm or something. What do I have to worry? I have to wear this. I have to go around my whole life with this shmat on my head because of him. That very shallow, superficial understanding of what it means becomes something which we can laugh about, but it gets very dangerous if a woman thinks that that's what Hashem thinks. And if you go after years and years of hearing teachers talk this way, or if parents speak this way, you begin to think that I guess that's what the Baruch Shalom holds. That's very dangerous. Why would anybody want to cover the hair under those circumstances? Why would any Baal Shuv want to do that? Why would anybody be interested in any of this? If all it is this horrible thing that I'm supposed to be, this dangerous creature that's enticing men, and therefore I have to go through this uncomfortable thing? I mean, the whole Hashkaf is dangerous. And that superficial way of seeing things. And if children hear that over and over from teachers, over and over, they associate with the Rebbe Shem, because they think that the teacher's only mouthing what? Hashem's will. Because the natural instinct of a trusting child is that the teacher, the Rebbe, is saying what Hashem's saying, right? Every child thinks that. And every child thinks the parents are saying what Hashem wants. But what if they're not? What if the parents aren't? Then most kids grow up thinking of an angry God. Of an angry, vengeful God. Whose entire concern is about the length of their sleeves. Not to minimize the importance of halacha. I insist on all these standards being kept. But that's it. That's their Baruch Shalom. And if they don't learn the Svar Makadosh, they don't learn deeper things in Torah, they don't see, they can grow up their whole life thinking of Hashem in such a way. And they don't hear the same way that we might have heard, oh, I wasn't zeichet to have grandparents. But even, by the way, even my father, my mother, the way that they speak about the Baruch Shalom, I mean, even in a funny way. Now, I remember, I hope my mother will forgive me for saying this, but I only mean it in a good way, because I love her very much. But, you know, I remember instances like, my mother got very annoyed with me when I was coming home with a lot of halacha, you know? So I was, at that point, I was coming home with a lot of halakhas. And I saw that my mother's not doing this stuff. My mother would sometimes would move something that's muktzeh, yeah? So I, right away, I start to scream, it's muktzeh machmas this, muktzeh machmas that. And my mother says, what? She says, don't tell me, your grandmother, Hashem should revenge her death. You know, it was this whole scene. Your grandmother, she was a much bigger tzaddikus than you, big knacker, you think you're so firm? Your grandmother, my mother, my father, and you know, it can't be that they were moving around muktzeh stuff. It can't be. You know, but my mother's impression was that you could move something occasionally if you had to, for whatever reason. And my mother got very upset with me, and I would say, look, and then I would, this is when my father wasn't there. My father was there, I was careful, right? But I would show to my mother, look what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And my mother invariably should do this. She would go, do you see this? She would look up to, you know, she said, do you, and she would hold her heart. She said, do you see this? She said, close her eyes and says, God is my witness. God is my witness. That this is, that my mother, you know, she would say these were shyness. Now, it's in a certain way comical, but in a much more significant way, the impression that left upon me was my mother, to this day, even though she argues with him, she has all kinds of fights because of things that she went through in life, but there's a very personal relationship. Very personal. Right? And times that my mother would do something which she knew wasn't right, and she would say, no, all right, come. And I mean, things like that you couldn't believe. But in a certain way, even like, you know, like when it was with Lashon Hara, you say the Lashon Hara, and then you say, no, Rabbi Shlomo, forgive me. Right? But there's a certain personal relationship. And the Rabbi Shlomo is part of your family. He's part of that upbringing. And there's that closeness, that feeling that my mommy and daddy are shluchim, but they're good shluchim. And the Mishalech is one who loves me like my mommy and daddy. And he wants only the best for me. Not that he's out to get me. Not that he's out to hurt me. This can't be overemphasized. I'm only saying b'kitzer, but really it's something which we have to repeat over and over and over in our lives. And to the extent that we're able to, see, this, not to make a distinction, I'm certainly, there's no Indian here of some silly prejudice, but when you go to, in the Chassidish Olam, whatever, they have different problems in their Olam, but by the Chassidish, you still hear a lot, the way that they talk to the children, a lot more of that old style. A lot more of that old style, bringing much more of the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's not an excuse to do anything that's incongruous with what the Beis Sheva wants. But the Lashon came more into that world. It found its place more in that world. Let's go weiter. So he says, about the second paragraph, when we're to live with this understanding, with this recognition that we passed the test, and the children feel, mommy and daddy look at themselves as being winners, not that they're losers, that they have me. What a loser, I'm your kid. No, they won. They won the great sweepstakes, the great contest, they got me. Right? And when you live with this hakara, zoichim beza, Hashem is baruch, l'simcha gedoyle b'chol, l'saskus in the shomas elu, then you're able to feel more simcha with everything that you're involved with these kids. So you're talking to grow up with everything. And they're married also, being involved with them. Kikasha of or aim when a father or a mother or a malamed, a rabbi, the kol mi sheish hashayachas in the shomas elu, mizbonim is that, when you think about this, when you think about it. And you know something? You shouldn't just think about it. In the Svar HaKadosh HaMatur, that is very, very powerful, it's to use your imagination. Use your imagination. And I'm not saying to think of Hashem with a long white beard sitting in a chair. You know, you have to be careful with these things. But you can mamish use your imagination. That there's a neshama that's in Shemayim, and that you could even, I know this will sound silly, but we have to do anything we can to strengthen our recognition of this. And you could see in your mind's eye, all the millions of people and the neshamas and books and computer and all, anything you want. And the Baruch Shalom, you see a hand going through everything and comes to you in your life and strengthen that in your mind, that feeling. And if it's a difficult day, to strengthen that feeling. That you shouldn't chas v'chol think, what a bedevit, I'm stuck in such an amaisa with this kid. No, it's a lechatchila. You have to think about this. That the Bar Yishlam himself trusts you. He believes in you. And he's given you these holy objects, these holy children. Are pure and holy. All of creation exists only because of these children, as we know from thousands of places in Chazal, that the world wouldn't exist if not for the children. And the entire future of the Jewish people depends upon them. And the Baruch Shalom trusts me and only me. That I can perform, I can carry out this shlichus, b'shleimus, perfectly. Hashem is bach ma'amin bi. The Baruch Shalom believes in me, he trusts me. Ubev sharusi v'yicholti, my ability. Can there be a greater simcha? There's no greater simcha. Shahari ani shliach shel Hashem is bach ba'atzmai. That I myself am a shlichim Hashem, kol ov, father, kol aim, him shlichim shal Hashem, kol cheder bebeisim, every room in your house, where you live, every room, hukita b'talmud Torah, is a little class in cheder, it's like a class in yeshiva, avu ha-neshamas halalu, for these neshamas, the playroom, the bedroom, the den, the basement, every room, he says, is a little classroom, and you are appointed to be responsible in that classroom. And those rooms in your house have been waiting, you have been waiting for thousands of years, this place, this time, this person. El Kol Dibra, those children are waiting for every word. The Kol Chiyuch, was mi Chiyuch? Every smile. The Kol Tnu, and every gesture. Every little pinch, caressing of the cheek. Shall Av of a father, shall Ha'ein. Shall Neshamas Yisrael Kodma La'olam. Because we know that the Neshamas of the Jewish people were here before existence, before the creation of the world. Vayd Lefnei Briyas Olam Heichan Neshamas Barachas and Neshamas Alolu. The Baruch Hashem created and prepared these Neshamas before this world. V'sidor Avot Tavosam, and he prepared everything that they need in order to become great. In order to become who they can become. And this day was foreseen. Davke by me. Therefore we have to think. That this can be compared to what used to be in the earlier generations. Used to be that the wealthier families in particular would be able to hire a private rabbi. Or if they were poor, families would get together and they would hire a certain rabbi. Lemoshel, Efshar Lachshav, next page, you'd base. Efshar Lachshav, Mahaisa Hagoshali, he says, think for a moment. How would I feel in Tzaddik Godel V'Kaddish? Now, there is HaKaidnam. Think of a great Tzaddik that you admire through all the things that you've learned in life, someone that you look up to. The Vilna Gaon, the Echaim HaKadosh, Chassam Sefer, the Baal Shem Tov, whatever. Think of someone who you always admire a lot and you like the stories about that tzaddik. And imagine Sheyesh La'alfei Chassidim. That this person had thousands of followers. Tamidei Chachamim Va'Avdei Hashem. Followers were great Tamidei Chachamim, great scholars, great people. V'chipeis Mikol HaTzibur, and that tzaddik, that Rebbe, searched amongst all of his Chassidim. All of his followers, thousands of people, Shneisel of Mistefef Betzila, who are constantly coming to see him, to be with him, and he was searching to find Mi Roi Liyos Dugma Lebnei Yechida. Who can I take as a role model for my only child? He has one son, one daughter. I have to choose one role model from the whole Olam for my child. Mi Yizkel Atafkid Kadosh V'Nichbet Zeh. Who will be worthy of this? Of his holy and honorable position. Ad shebochar be'echad meyuchad, till he finally came to that choice. Liyos ha-melamed ha-meyuchad avor b'nei ha-kodesh, to be the Rebbe, to be the teacher of that only child. Hay bevadei ilu ha-yelonu ha-zchiyah lezeh, if you or I would be zeichet to such a thing, ha-yelonu simcha gedolu, would be very proud. He'd be very happy. That tzaddik ha'gol shemakir kol kach habe melamdim, that this tzaddik knows 1,000 melamdim. U'mashpiyim, and people who are good mashpiyim. Fantastic. Motzel l'nachayim, he decided, livchor bi mitoich kahal latzum kezeh, to choose me amongst this enormous kehila. Leah is hamachanach to be the teacher, v'hamashpiyah, v'hadugman, the role model of war, b'no yechido, for his only child. So he says, kach mamish. So too mamish. Ritzayin avinu shebeshamayim. It is the rotzen will of our father, of Hashem. Shemashrish v'no'ir b'navshenu, that we should illuminate our souls with this recognition. Shehashem is baruch ba'atzmoy b'charbi. That Hashem himself has chosen me. Lizka is liyos hamechanech, to be the teacher, a mashpia, v'adugma, the role model of war, b'no yechido, for his only child, this neshama. Even if I have kind of heart 10 children, for this neshama. Because every child of Hashem is his ben yachid. Every child is his ben yachid. This thought, Nevi'ah simcha gedolah, can bring you to great simcha, and at the same time a great sense of responsibility, which we spoke about. It's not a contradiction. A sense of achrayus is not something that should cause you to get depressed or sad. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. A sense of simcha and a sense of achrayus and a schus. What a schus, what a matana, what a gift. It's good to have a sense of achrayus. Hagoshen neflor shel achrayus, to have a wonderful sense of achrayus. We associate achrayus very often with something negative, because we don't want to have an achrayus. We don't want to have an achrayus. It's difficult to have an achrayus. We'd rather not have responsibilities. But really, a chrayus is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful for us, and it's wonderful for those under our care, that we have an achrayus. We have a responsibility, Baruch Hashem. There are many people who would rather not have an achrayus, who don't want the achrayus. There are a lot of people who like the idea of having children, but they don't want the achrayus of raising them. It's a lot of fun to have children, in certain ways. And in certain circles, there's competition. It's competition. I have this many kids, you have that many kids. But the achrayus, you know, whenever you put a child in front of a television, you turn on the television, you understand that you're relinquishing your achrayus. At least I'm not talking about what's on television. Whoever has a little seichel knows what's on television nowadays. When you put the child in front of a television, what you're saying is, I don't want this achrayus. I don't want the achrayus. Let instead Sesame Street have the achrayus. Let this one have on the television. He'll take an achrayus for the chinuch of my child. Could you imagine such a thing? It's scary, no? Because most of the people on television, you and I wouldn't even want to be left alone in the room with any of those people. And that you'll give the kid, and then you have achrayus for this next hour or two with my kid. And by the way, I'm talking about a monitor also with the tape. It's also the same thing. It's bad. By the form of this became something that's allowed. I don't know how that snuck into the entire world. But that's an achrayus. You're leaving the child up, and somebody else is achrayus. You made a decision. Whoever's on that show, that's an achrayus. So your way of thinking is, it's only for an hour. Come on, this crazy fanatic. But if you live with the hargosh that the tzaddik is talking about, you realize that there's no break. And that's tiring. That's not easy. It's a very big achrayus. But you have to be very careful. There are different ways of trying to give yourself a break from that achrayus. You have to think of the most productive way to give yourself room to breathe. Because even the way that you give yourself a break is with an achrayus. You understand? And you and I, if we're zeicher, all who are zeicher to be parents, know. We know that from the moment you have that child, never in your life are you ever free from that achrayus. Because you know that right now, we're all thinking, it might not be in that part of our brains that's right up front, because we're concentrating on what we're learning. But you know that it's sitting there, what's doing with this one, what's doing with that one, she wasn't so happy last week in camp, this one was upset. what's going to be in school next year. I'm worried because it's always there. It's that latent concern that a parent never can, a real parent can never ever undo. So there's always nachrayas. But the question is, what do you do in order to relieve yourself of some of the enormity of the achrayas? Even when you are trying somehow to do that, it has to be also the achrayas of how the child spends his time, of where she is, of where he is, of what she's doing, of what he's reading. It's sort of an achrayas, because that's your achrayas. Let's finish the paragraph. You're filled with determination
to do what? You're filled with the determination to give over to this child the Ratzon of Hashem, the third partner. It strengthens you to give over in a good way. V'hamaduyik in an accurate way, v'hamushlim in a whole way, v'ha'arev in a pleasant, v'hamosik in a sweet way, b'yaiser. The will of Hashem, what I was talking about before, in a pleasant and sweet way. K'may Shem HaChazal, ha'loy med yadad l'mahu daimah. If someone has this chus to teach a child to what can that person be compared, so you know what it says in Perek, like someone who is writing on a fresh, beautiful piece of paper, a blank piece of paper. Any tiny little thing that you give over to these neshamas, it makes a tremendous impression upon them. That's the achrayas. That's the achrayas, that whatever we say and whatever we do makes a tremendous reishim on the children. That could affect the child the rest of his life. It could be a gesture. I was talking about this recently somewhere. No, the children see what they could see when a mother's very excited about something. They could see what excites you. So a child sees that when it comes, let's say, and I spoke about this a few weeks ago, a child sees that when a delivery comes with a new couch, which everybody should have comfortable couches, when a delivery comes with a new couch, they see that the way that the mother was waiting and calling a few days because it was supposed to come, and it was such a cheshik and such a chuk and a longing, and then when the truck finally arrives, you know, the mother has a hisrakshus, she's not going to say l'shem yichu gutzibur, but the child sees something in the mother that he doesn't see on Shabbos. He doesn't see that on Shabbos. He doesn't see that when it comes to a yontif, when it comes to going to a sukkah. He doesn't see that, right? If a mother is going shopping, and there's a certain kind of a determination, sometimes there's a real determination. So a child sees, wow, my mother's really a determined person. And you get pulled from one place to the next, and as a kid, a little kid, you get pulled, and my mother's really determined. The child knows that determination is reserved for shopping. And they could tell the difference between my mother's determination when it comes to shopping, when it comes to doing a mitzvah. They could tell. And it makes a big reish. It makes a big reish. When people speak glowingly and approvingly about secular people such as celebrities or politicians, that's something you should speak negatively about anybody. But when they speak very approvingly, but they come to the same table and the name of a Rav comes up and they say, that Rav, yeah, him again, he's dashing for half hour, who could listen? No. It can be in a very subtle way. But the children see that when it comes to a certain, they hear the father talking about a certain athlete, half live a fellow. My ridic. And when it comes to the Rav, I can't take it anymore. I can't take him. So the children have it. That makes a ration. So how do you have shuls with his late son? And the grown men talk about the Rav a certain way, or they talk with... That Leitzanis, where does it come from? It's from Yesh Me'ayin. They grew up in homes where there was Leitzanis made of Rabbanim Fati. And it could be, and you'll say, I never did, I never made Leitzanis of a Rav. No, it goes, the generation passes, it becomes bigger. You didn't make open Leitzanis, but there were these subtle little cracks and comments that the kids pick up on, and that's like a little seed, a little poison, and it grows and it thrives and it comes out, and the one who sits, you know, back in this chair and the rubber's talking, like, you know, like this. It's that subtle roishim that's made, but it grows and it poisons a child. And we'd have to catch it and realize it. We speak negatively about people, and in an easy way it comes out negative words. The roishim that it makes. So there's a tremendous achrayus that we have. Because it's a fresh piece of paper, it's a blank piece of paper. Yes, it's a roishim otzumalayim, v'hashpo atzum l'kol yimei chayiv. Kol dover hayeled roi, shahayeled roi, everything that the child sees. Be'oviv, in his father. Be'ima, in his mother. Kol mashu roi v'shameya, hakol oise roishim b'nafsha. Sees the father falls asleep when he has a gemara in front of him. Sees the father wide awake if he's watching a video. So? Sees the father at a ball game, screaming and cheering and yelling. But when it comes to davening, he can barely open his mouth. Can we imagine what this means? We don't even think of it. The boys can go to a ball game. Listen, I enjoy playing ball. But I remember years and years ago when we were in the bungalow, I stopped. I used to be a pretty good ball player. I stopped going to there was like an A team, a B team that I had like the. So originally I was on the A team. I stopped going. I'll tell you for the simple reason. Because then our children were very, very little. But I saw there were boys there that were 7, 8, 9 years old, and sometimes the little maid come too, and the fathers were screaming like nuts. Like absolute babies fighting over foul balls. Hey, what are you doing? What are you screaming? As if there's something in the Chofetz Chaim which says that all responsibility for Lashon Hara, Midas Ros, Habonis Pnei Chaver Barab are all suspended when it comes to sports. But carrying on like nuts, like immature babies. And they see the father gets like into, the people are fuming at the mouth. They don't see the father with that kind of instructions when it comes to Avodas Hashem. They don't see the father when it comes to a ball game. When it comes to a ball game, if the ball game is called for 10 o'clock, Zrizu Makdimim. Be there 10 to 10 to check out the field, throw the ball around a little bit. And the same father, as he comes to shul, yes, time. The kid watches his father, in the house, how he's moving on Shabbos morning. You don't think they notice it? The kid doesn't say anything. You don't think he sees how his father moves to shul? He has time for this, he has time for that. The kids soak in everything. And then you wonder, how come my kid doesn't like davening? And you're screaming at him, daven, daven. What is she daven? Daven has a chshivas? Davening has a chshivas? The father screams at the kid, he has to dress like a ben terror, dress like a ben terror. Why? The father walks around the whole time, like a shlump. Why is she dressed like a ben terror? These are things that make a ration on the children. And it's a tremendous achrayus. It's not easy. Because you're being watched every moment. You're being listened, you're being heard every moment. And the Bein Shalom is a hashkocha that he put the child there for you to become better also. Because there's one of the best ways for you to become better is through your kids. One of the best, because you love your kids more than you love yourself, kiddo. We all love our children much more than we love ourselves. And we all have greater hope in our children than we ever have in ourselves. So because we want, I remember in that same Bengal colony, there was a certain father that was mamish like a... I didn't get him. He never went to daven. He didn't come to shul. He spoke when he was, you know, in such a terrible way. And he came over to me and he asked me if I would please learn with this kid an extra hour a day. You know, and I looked at him. The guy would never pick up a sefer. He came from a nice home. But he was himself a vilde, you know, like an unrefined person. And he asked me, can I learn with this kid next hour a day? So, you know, I looked at him, you know, and he said to me like this. He said, I'm a nice herf, but I want my kid to be a tzaddik. So he said to me, I'm worthless, but my kid, my David. You know, I thought about that many times. I admired him for that. So it's also a madrig. But so Rahman is in it too, because he gave up on himself being a tzaddik. But he wants his children to be good to kinder. And if we think about that deeply, it'll help us be better people too. And it has helped us become better people, I'm sure. The nisyonis of raising them. It's helping us. But it's a hashgocha protis. Umimeli says, Hakarzu Magbiya Umuremis says, Kol Haistaklus, it uplifts, it raises the entire way that we look, the Hagisha Shalom La Avodas Achinuch, to teaching, the Ganze Blick and the Ganze Tzugang, that Hecher becomes, the whole way of looking becomes elevated, becomes greater. Shai B'Melechus Hashem and Oiskim, because we are Oisik and Melechus Hashem. Every minute, not just when I'm sitting down with my kid doing homework, not just when I'm having my heart-to-heart talk with my daughter about, you know, you're growing up and we have to talk, but every second in the house, the way that I walk, the way that I talk, I'm Isaac and Meleches Hashem Mamish. What a schus, what a simcha, what an overwhelming achrayis. Let's not be overwhelmed. Let's know that the Mashiach is giving us the strength to do it, and to strengthen ourselves with that emuna, and we should be able to live up to that task, and to be zeichet, to have good children, and to be good children ourselves, we're still children, to be Rebbeinu Shlomo's good children, and to be zeichet together, to be mekabel plein Mashiach Tzidkenu.